Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Carrie Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Golopoulou et al. Titled Exposure to Stimulatory CpG Oligonucleotides During Gestation Induces Maternal Hypertension and Excess Vasoconstriction in Pregnant Rats. This article published online February 12, 2016. Joining me today are Associate Editor Nancy Kanagi, Lead Author Stella Golopoulou, and Content Expert Lawrence Reynolds. Let's get started.
This study investigated a potential role for mitochondrial DNA in the initiation or potentiation of gestational hypertension using pregnant rats. In this study, mitochondrial DNA, which is released from damaged tissues or dying cells, is thought to initiate an innate immune response through activation of the toll-like receptor 9 in a so-called damage-associated molecular pattern, or DAMP, response. Once initiated, this pathway appears to cause increased cyclooxygenase 2 expression and activity, elevated release of reactive oxygen species, increased blood pressure, and vascular dysfunction. Thus, tissue damage leading to TLR9 activation in early pregnancy might be one cause of gestational hypertension. To help us understand the significance of this observation, Stella, would you tell us a little bit more about how this model relates to potential events that occur in human pregnancies?
In certain pregnancy complications, such as preeclampsia, for example, we have exaggerated damage of placental cells and an increased amount of debris in the circulation of the mothers. So our hypothesis that part of this placental cell death releases mitochondrial DNA in the circulation, and this can induce a systemic inflammatory response. So the implications and the significance of what we did are related to pregnancy complications such as preeclampsia. I just want to make a small comment. We did not really treat the rats with mitochondrial DNA. We use the synthetic, the CpG oligonucleotides, to kind of mimic the biological structure in the mitochondrial DNA that could induce activation of toll-like receptor 9. And we chose these CpG oligonucleotides because they are contained in both bacterial DNA, but also their other structure, like fetal DNA, is hypomethylated and could induce similar effects. And we do know that cell-free fetal DNA is elevated in pregnancy complications. So the mitochondrial DNA is kind of a new idea that we're exploring currently in the lab, but in this specific study, we did not use mitochondrial DNA for the induction of pregnancy hypertension.
So thank you, Stella. And Larry, you've studied adverse outcomes in pregnancy for many years. How important do you think this observation of TLR activation in pregnancy is in relation to other things that might lead to complications in pregnancy?
Well, I'm going to just start by putting this in a little bit of perspective. You know, substantially, the paper has implications for preeclampsia. Preeclampsia is also known as hypertension of pregnancy and is a vascular disease. And so these CpG oligonucleotides are really inducing a similar syndrome in this model. And this disease affects about 5 to 10% of pregnancies globally, and that's around 10 million pregnancies a year. It's a major cause of maternal death globally. In the developed world, like in the U.S., it usually doesn't cause maternal death because we have such good health care, and by far the majority of pregnant women have access to health care. But it still causes many pregnancy complications, including preterm birth, and also has long-term outcomes for the mothers who postnatally have been shown to have a much elevated risk of developing vascular diseases later in life, hypertension, stroke, ischemic heart disease. So this really is a major area and is something that, you know, we just have not gotten a handle on over the years. It's been a major area of research in terms of pregnancy complications. So, you know, I think a few things here I thought were very interesting about the article. These CpG oligonucleotides can come from several sources. They can come from placental cells that are shed into the maternal circulation. They can come from dying maternal placental cells. But in this paper, you also talk about those coming from bacteria and sort of being, if there's systemic bacterial infections, that these CpG oligonucleotides also can be released. So, I think this paper has some really profound implications.
One of the other things that I thought was fascinating about this paper is that in earlier work from your group, Stella, you observed that these CGP oligonucleotides increase blood pressure in males, but yet in your non-pregnant females, there wasn't an increase in blood pressure. And so what is it about the pregnant female that makes them more susceptible to this than the non-pregnant female?
So we do not know exactly what are the mechanisms that make the maternal cardiovascular system to be more responsive to exposure to CpG oligonucleotides, but it is possible because pregnancy is a state of inflammation that the maternal system is primed to have a more exaggerated response. These studies actually are currently of our interest, and we try to explore further why the non-pregnant, for example, rats have they don't have a response, where the pregnant rats do have a response.
Thank you, Stella. Larry, do you have any questions that you'd like to address to Stella?
I actually wanted to ask Stella because, the paper was really about systemic treatment with CpG oligonucleotides. And I wondered if she had thought about local implications or, the things that are going on locally in the pregnant uterus. And I bring that up partly because if we're talking about bacterial infections, there was a very nice paper in 2014 from Kirsty Agard at Washington University in St. Louis. And Kirsty and her group showed that, in fact, the placenta has its own microbiome. And this was a very interesting observation. And I wonder if she's thought about how these things might interact with that sort of endogenous, if you will, microbiome that's present.
Yes, we did induce systemic responses in our model, and we did not see a lot of changes, at least with the placental biometrics as fetal biometrics, and we did not see any changes yet. Of course, I have thought about the implications that such treatments could have locally, or bacterial infections could have locally, and their interaction with the placental microbiome. In our study, we did not see any changes, but we did not also measure in detail specific signaling in the placenta or the fetus or overall in the uterine vasculature. So I cannot necessarily exclude that there could be effects there that we just did not measure.
I had, one thought and wondered if Stella might comment on this. I have to compliment her in the paper for also taking a close look at vascular function. And so they used mesenteric artery to do some vascular pharmacology. The nitric oxide system appears to be a major mediator of many of the cardiovascular responses in pregnancy. And in fact, during pregnancy, there's an enhanced response to nitric oxide. That's the normal response. And so, this is really causing a fundamental change. I wondered if Stella would just comment on that as well.
Yes, we're very interested in this imbalance that the CpG oligonucleotides induce to the vasculature, to the maternal vasculature. And we had an increase, just for a quick reminder, an expression of cyclooxygenase 2, and as well as increase. It was exaggerated, the involvement of cyclooxygenase in contractions to thromboxane, a very potent constrictor and associated with pregnancy-induced hypertensive disorders. So a next step, and what we would like to do, is to see if this is regional. It's something that we saw specifically in the resistance vessels of the mesenteric arcade, or is something that we see in other vascular beds. That's a thing that would be very interesting to better describe the systemic responses of the mother to this perturbation we put her through. Now, in terms of the cyclooxygenase, I would say this is very interesting if we think that very recently, the last, I think it was in 2014, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology suggested that women in high risk of developing preeclampsia should be taking low-dose aspirin that we know is a cyclooxygenase inhibitor. In view of this, I would say, recommendation and our findings, I think it would be very interesting to explore inhibition of these exaggerated responses, in vivo inhibition, if it would ameliorate the effects that the CpG oligonucleotides may have and may be also restore the imbalance between the nitric oxide and the cyclooxygenase.
One of the things that we can manipulate readily is cyclooxygenase, and we have very good pharmacological tools to do that. And in fact, almost all non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, as the pharmacologists call them, target cyclooxygenase. And so that's a very interesting thought and would be a very simple way to regulate that exaggerated response. So that's a very good idea.
So there we are. Some questions answered and others raised by this intriguing study. The causes and effects of hypertension in pregnancy and the effects of hypertension on the unborn fetus and the future health of the mother are areas of great interest. And this study suggests that the innate immune system may play a role in some cases of pregnancy-induced hypertension. In addition, the possibility of triggering the innate immune response with tissue damage or bacterial infections are many avenues for future research. Thank you both, Stella and Larry, for this engaging discussion, and I look forward to reading more on this important topic from your ongoing research.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.